Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
My guest today is someone who wants to inspire all of us to produce less waste, to reduce, reuse, recycle, and then some. Her name is Caroline Hanks, and she's an environmental writer and a self-proclaimed waste minimization zealot who not only campaigns for the reduction of single-use plastics, but also likes to encourage the use of alternative products, including alternative wax wrap products, which came up when I was hosting The Breakfast Show a couple of weeks ago. So I was intrigued to hear from Caroline about some of the options that are out there, and I'm delighted to have her with us in studio today to chat to us about changes we can all make to cut down on plastic pollution. Caroline, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Pippa.
What sparked this passion for reducing waste?
It goes back a very long way. I have a very passionate environmental family. My mother was a recycling zealot in her time in the 70s. But also I've been very privileged to have some very profound wildlife encounters. And the one that really moved me most was a leatherback female turtle up in the remote stretch of the Maputo land in northern KZN. And it moved me particularly because on that stretch of beach, which is away from any rural community, there's no river flowing into that area, but we found reams and reams of plastic, bottle tops, classic single-use stuff, and it's clearly coming from the ocean. So having had this incredible encounter with this beautiful, beautiful reptile that's so ancient and so, striving to survive, and watching her disappear into the ocean, I must say I just felt so, my heart was going out to her in terms of what she's going back into. So it got me thinking, and there were a couple of other strong motivators, including a video which I've suggested you post on your Facebook page.
I've just done that on our Twitter account.
Excellent. Okay. And I presume you had a look at it.
I did. So let me just explain for the sake of the listeners that this is a video called Midway by Chris Jordan, which looks at Midway Island in the Pacific Ocean, which is 3,000 plus kilometers away from the nearest continent, so should not be a place where you would expect to see litter being an issue. And it is looking at the impact on birds, on the albatrosses on that island, and it will really make you take a fresh look at your views on plastic pollution, to say the very least. I've tweeted it at Cape Talk.
Absolutely. And I mean, the images there of the stomach contents of these chicks, which is cigarette lighters, plastic drinking straws and bottle tops. So, we cannot escape it. It's absolutely everywhere. I really just want to look at ways to change my lifestyle and reduce my plastic footprint, and also just to generate awareness and get conversations going around basic stuff like a drinking straw in a restaurant, refusing bottled water, not taking those barrier bags in the supermarket, finding an alternative for that, and connecting the dots and realizing that your behavior is having a massive impact, not only on wildlife in terms of entanglement and ingestion and suffocation, but also ultimately on human health and the fact that it is already entering the food chain. The fish are full of plastic, and that ends up on our plate. So I'm not sure when we will quite wake up to this massive problem, which is about as big as climate change, if not bigger. And maybe when it is a human health issue, we'll be actually...
It's sad that that is what it might take to get us to wake up. And the fact is that it might be too late for us to be waking up then, because the damage will have been done already. Caroline, look, we're going to talk a bit about changes within your own home, as well as changes on a bigger scale. And if the name Caroline Hanks sounds familiar to you, you might have read a couple of years ago the article that Caroline wrote, and that was published in some of the major newspapers, taking on the two Oceans Marathon in particular, about the amount of waste generated by that event. Caroline, it goes back to 2013. It was a scathing article, and it made a lot of points that the marathon itself acknowledged had merit to them. Just remind us what made you so angry that year.
It was a couple of days after the race, and admittedly it was a very windy day that they raced. I think it was 2013, and I went up Chappies and I just found plastic strewn all over the cliffs, and so I went up and cleaned, and I ended up with about 3 or 4 bags full, and it did enrage me, and I wrote the article. And then literally the same day it was published, I had a call from the race director, who wanted open dialogue and wanted change. And I have to admit, and I have to really give them a big thumbs up, they've been very open to making changes and taking positive steps. So particularly this year, they adopted something called the Go Green campaign, which is great, but in my view, it's not quite enough. Wildlands is in a partnership with them, and they are collecting all the sachets, and making them into lumber, which then they make into green desks, school desks, which is a huge need. But in my view, it's not addressing the problem. It's not, you know, the single-use plastic issue is so profound, and we shouldn't be having it in the system to start with. And the whole concept of educating runners, providing bigger bins, bigger throw zones, it's not a littering issue. It's a single-use plastic issue. Don't have it in the first place. And there are so many other hydration options, which I have presented to the Oceans Committee, which we will be addressing. But I think I pointed out to you, I've reminded them that they made a public claim.
5 years.
Yep.
It was 2013. They said 5 years to a plastics free race. And that's 2018. It's next year's event.
Precisely. So I'm going to be on their heels like a bad nightmare.
Caroline, you yourself, you're a very keen runner. You do a lot of trail running. And you pointed out in that original article and subsequently in other pieces of yours that I've read, the fact that other sports don't see the need for those little blue sachets, that
Absolutely.
They're perfectly capable of expecting athletes to carry their own water, to make provision for sustaining themselves through a race. So why should it be any different for a road race?
I don't understand it. But it's a mindset, it's a habit. And ironically, South Africa is the only country that actually hands out plastic sachets. As far as I know, in Europe they use, it's not much better, but they use plastic bottles, which presumably are recycled. And in the States they use paper cups, which are recycled or composted. But just a point, there's a wonderful race organizer called Richard Sutton who lives in Hout Bay, and he very recently had a successful 21K in Scarborough called the Milkwood Half Marathon with no plastic sachets. He just made that call. There were no complaints. In fact, there were accolades. So it can happen. The only way he hydrated runners was with eco cups, which were sent to a composting system. So it is doable. It's just, you know, I think someone needs to lead the charge. And I'm really hoping that the Two Oceans Marathon guys take this up as a challenge and go plastic free and show the others how to do it.
Can be done. It is being done elsewhere in the world. So why shouldn't it be done here in South Africa, where we've got the world's most beautiful marathon? Let's try and keep it that way. My guest, if you've just joined us late to the conversation, is Caroline Hanks, who's an environmental writer and a passionate campaigner for minimizing plastic waste. Now, you mentioned the drinking straws, and I know you've actually got a straw suck campaign going through your Turning the Tide organization. Lauren has just tweeted saying that Noordhoek Farm Village and Red Cafe in Steenberg are already now using paper straws as an alternative to plastic. Plastic straws are awful. Please ask managers for other options. Is it an uphill battle that you're fighting on this one?
It is a bit, but we've had great success in Noordhoek Farm Village with the Turning the Tide campaign, which I started with a great friend of mine, Nicola Jenkin and Belinda Ashton. And we just had enough of this classic single use. And it's almost, it's like the poster child for single-use plastics for me. It may be so small and so sort of insidious, but it gets the conversation going. And I think if we can get restaurant owners to just become straw-free zones, just to make that decision, just like race organizers, there will be no plastic straws. If customers ask, only if customers ask, will we provide a paper straw? But it mustn't be the habit. And you go anywhere, and it just becomes an absolute habit to produce a straw with a drink. So I've got into the habit personally of just saying no, looking the waitress in the eye and saying no straw, and invariably they still bring one. But yeah, we've had great success. Cafe Roo, Food Barn, Monkey Valley, Red Herring, they've all ditched
their straws. That's great to hear. Yeah. Great. Now, you've mentioned the plastic bottles, and somebody has WhatsApped saying with the huge increase in the purchase of water, the increase of plastic bottles is really worrying. What are the alternatives? Caroline, I know actually, as a country, we do relatively well in recycling this particular item. More than half of them, I think, for the first time last year, we recycled more than 50% of the plastic bottles produced. It's not enough, but at least it is heading in the right direction. But what are the alternatives?
When it comes to bottled water, I actually don't know. I mean, I'm a great fan of the tap water, but I know it's becoming an issue more recently, and I've seen lots of people buying bottled water now. Maybe this is a nice slide into what I've got here, which is an eco brick. And it's a lovely, it's a genius concept in my view, but we've got these bottles, they're not going away. So let's fill them, literally, and I've got one for you, Pippa.
Thank you very much.
And a stick. Basically, you fill them with anything that is not recyclable. So plastic, cling wrap, fabric, anything that you're throwing away that you cannot put into the recycling stream. And you fill it to absolute capacity. You spend a lot of time, you know, shoving it down to the bottom until you reach about 500 grams worth.
Yep.
And that becomes what they call an eco brick. And it was a concept introduced by an amazing guy called Joe Stodgel, who came out to South Africa in 2013 from Santa Fe. And you you basically build, you can build creches, you can build schools, you can build anything with these incredible bricks. And it's locking in this plastic, which would otherwise be floating about either in the ocean or on, you know, it all escapes landfill. So it's a lovely concept. And maybe that's something we can do with the bottles that we buy. But ideally, you want to not be buying bottled water. You know, buy glass if you have to. But plastic, I mean, the oil production just to produce bottled water alone, I think it was in 2007, they worked out 17 million barrels of oil to make bottled water. I mean, it's just an insane use of a non-renewable resource.
So I've seen Eco Bricks in action at a creche before, and it's very simple. So we're looking at a 5-litre cool drink bottle that's been had waste crammed into it that is then lined up to form the framework of the wall. And I think it was clay that they used on top of that.
Correct.
To build the particular wall in that case. It was well insulating. It's a win-win. It gets rid of waste. It provides a cheap or free, in this case, building material for the people using it. How widely used is it in South Africa?
Not very much at all. I think there's a building project in Delft, and there's a couple of projects in Port Elizabeth. I'm hoping to get one started in Masipumelele. There's a project that I've just become involved with, a greening garden project, and we want to try and create the raised beds because it's quite stony ground using the eco bricks. And it's a lovely sort of full circle, you know, waste cleanup, incentivizing for the children particularly. I think children love doing this. Mm-hmm. My dear friend Chantal Bernardi, who is the eco warrior at Bay Primary and Senior Campus, is getting the kids in the classroom to make eco bricks, and they love it. They absolutely love it. And there's a competition as to who gets the heaviest brick, and they've produced about 60 in the past couple of weeks.
We've got some interesting comments coming through on our WhatsApp line, including one from Vasti, and I think I know if that's Vasti, it's probably Rian Munce's wife, and she says, Vasti's saying, my husband and I rode from California to Hawaii. The amount of plastic we saw in that ocean was horrific. Hawaii is near Midway, so I'm not surprised at all to hear about that video. Vasti, thanks so much for your message. Good to hear from you. Yeah, the video she's referencing is one that I've shared on our Twitter feed, and it is called Midway. It is a short film. It's just a couple of minutes of your time required to watch it. We've shared it at Cape Talk on the Twitter feed, and it is demonstrating as viscerally and visually as you will ever see the impact of plastic pollution, literally opening up the stomachs of birds that have died to find them crammed with plastic that they have ingested. It is frightening to look at, but it is important to look at. A few tweets here. Paul saying, Royal Cape Yacht Club sailing has stopped using plastic straws. We use paper instead. Good for you. Jacques has also tweeted to tell me that Hotel Verde has banned straws of any kind as of last year already. It's part of our 0% to landfill policy. That is fantastic. Amy's asking us to please post a photograph of an eco brick. We will gladly do that after the show. I'll ask my producer to take a snap so that we can show you what it looks like. You mentioned that you are crowdfunding to use them to build a garden, and it's a food garden in Masipumelele. Tell us a bit more.
Yes, it's the Work for Love project, which is run in Masipumelele. It's an adult education and child education NPO. They've been based there for many, many years, and I visited the property recently, and it's got huge potential for the most spectacular greening project. So I'm very excited about that. I'm running Comrades this year for the first time, and crowdfunding for this project. I've got about 10,000 at the moment and hoping for quite a bit more.
We'll share the link to that crowdfunding page as well.
Thank you.
A few people are asking, if I make my eco bricks, where can I drop them off?
Well, if you're in the Nordic area, certainly with me, and I can put my details onto my Facebook page. Otherwise, Montebello in Newlands is a depot for them, a collection site. Otherwise, you can go onto, I think, the EcoBrick Exchange website, and you'll get all the information there. But I do plan to update on my Facebook page the
Great.
Super.
Thank you. A WhatsApp saying chain shops that sell food in plastic is part of the problem. It would be good if places like Pick and Pay Delis rewarded customers by giving a discount if they bought their own containers. I'm sure you'd agree.
I quite agree, yes.
Okay. The issue of plastic packaging in supermarkets is one that comes up frequently on this show. So Sean saying rate two oceans and litter. Bigger collection bins spread further along the road to accurately throw the bags in would help reduce the mess. I prefer trail running, says Sean, and you're expected to carry your own water on the events. On the Xterra tri-event and obstacle races, you stop at the water table, drink from a cup, or fill your own hydro bag or water bottle. But road runners would probably complain that that's slowing them down and might make them miss their personal best. I think that's probably a fair comment.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've done quite a few Two Oceans Ultras and I've carried my own pack and I've survived and not, my times have not been compromised. So, you know, it's a tricky one, but I think it's a laziness and it's habit. And to be quite honest, if the system of hydration is well designed and it basically it's going to take an entrepreneur to come up with a brilliant system of tanks and stopcocks and pipes, And all the information is there, that the technology is there. We just need to invest a little bit in making it happen.
Caroline, before we run out of time, I mentioned the fact that you've got a number of products available as alternatives. You've got reusable shopping bags, which are my favorite thing. I've had two of them in my handbag permanently for about 4 years now, and it's massively reduced the amount of, well, I never buy plastic bags anymore. You've also brought along, though, a bamboo eco coffee cup, some cloth bags for your vegetable produce, and an interesting looking wax wrap variation. Just tell us very quickly what that product is.
Yes, very briefly, I just wanted to play around with it with an idea that I saw online, and it's shwe shwe fabric, which I've infused with beeswax. So it's an alternative to either cling wrap or tinfoil. So it's obviously it's a waste minimization strategy. My son's lunchbox is completely waste-free. I literally wrap up his sandwiches in this, anything else that sort of separates the stuff in the lunchbox, and they last for a good couple of months, and you just wipe them clean. And it's just such a lovely alternative to...
Are people able to buy these from you?
A little bit reluctant to go that route because I've got a normal day job, but I have been producing them, yes. But the beautiful sort of synergy here is this project in Massey has got a wonderful sewing group, and they're going to be taking this on, the bags and the wraps, which
fantastic.
Is exciting.
Okay, so during the next break, we'll share the link to Caroline's crowdfunding page, which will tell you more about that Massey Pumalele project. And it sounds, judging by the number of SMSs and emails I'm getting, it sounds like you have a good few eco bricks that are about to come your way.
Fabulous.
Keep those coming. Thanks, Caroline, for joining us, and onward and upward. I look forward to touching base with you next year when we follow up on that 5-year deadline
Indeed.
For Two Oceans.
Yes. Thanks very much, Pippa.
Caroline Hanks, great to have you with
Bye-bye.
Us.